Without further ado, I want to talk to you about this man of God, my brother. He's a brother to me, a peer to me, but he's also a mentor of mine. He mentors me, he teaches me and encourages me. I highly respect him and recommend him, not just to receive him from the word tonight, what you're about to receive, but also just in life and his own experiences. And I'd encourage you to get to know him and spend time with him. It'd be good. Mike McSwain, man of God, he's going to preach, and I'd encourage you with this. You can get whatever you want out of every word that's preached from the Word of God. And you can either harden your heart and kind of push it away, or you can have a soft heart and receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and you will receive the prophet's reward. And that's what's happening tonight, is that somebody is coming to preach the Word of God, and they've been praying about it for a long time, and I'm encouraging you and challenging you to open up your hearts and to receive what God would have for you tonight, what he would want to say to you tonight and speak to you tonight. And so, pastor, prophet, brother, he doesn't care about all those titles, but he is a man of God. Mike McSwain, come on up here, Mike.
Bro, am I on? Awesome. Yeah, those of you that do know me know that titles don't impress me. Functioning in your gifting is what impresses me. And our generation, I'll be 40, but I'm a bridge generation. The baby boomer generation, and then I'm a generation Xer, and I think some of you guys are Ys, and I don't know the term for the one that's coming up now. Anybody?
Generation Next.
Amen. Well, but God began to speak to me years ago about a new wineskin that he was bringing forth and wanted to do. When I say a new thing, not a new thing, nothing's new under the heaven, as you know, and I might be a little hot because I'm a loudmouth. But that there was coming a move of God's Spirit that wasn't going to be in a building. It's going to be in the people. And it's a new wineskin. It's a nameless, faceless move of God. It's not like Benny Hinn with the wave. It's not Mike McSwain or all this. It's not about a name. It's about functioning in Christ, letting Christ put you on like a garment. And as you're hearing and seeing what God's doing, you do it. That's what God wants. It's not religious. It's about being real. We got problems. I got sin in my life. I don't want it. But I'm asking God to blow it out as I cling to him and crucify my flesh by the Spirit and those misdeeds of the body, which are like weeds, and weeds they have tenacity about them. Weeds like to just come up all over the place. Martin Luther, I read in the book one time, said, you know, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest on my head. That's the Christian life. It's a struggle. In Romans 8, I believe it says, life through the Spirit. We put to death those misdeeds of the body by the Spirit through crucifixion. That's not what I'm talking about. Just preaching a little bit there. My name is Mike McSwain. I'll be short as I can. You let me know, everybody that's in charge of this, just do this. It won't offend me. But once a believer hears the gospel, unbeliever, hears the gospel, an unbeliever, and receives it by faith and is regenerated, what does God require of that person? When you're born again, what does God require of you? Think about it for a second. What does God require of you once you're born again? He gave you the faith to believe in the first place. You're now his responsibility. He lives in you. It's in him you live and move and have your being. It's just not for you to figure out. It's for you to begin to listen and obey. How should we walk out our faith, and how do we make sure that we are building on a solid foundation? You go to build a house out here close to the inlet. There's certain areas of town. I was a realtor for 12 years. And there's certain areas of town you don't want to build on. It's not good ground. And there's going to come things that will shake the foundation. And you got to know what you're building on. This question is vitally important for all of us. seeing that how we live and what we build upon will be tested by God. As the Scripture states, and we'll give an account of all these things at the judgment, we will stand before God, not for sin, it was judged on the cross, nailed, done with. The Father approved the sacrifice. It was a holy, blameless sacrifice. Jesus did it. And the Father was well pleased. But we will be held responsible for what we did, how we lived, what we built upon. It's a big deal. I don't do good because I want rewards. I want to be in love with the Lord, and as I'm connected with Him, fruit appears. It's not my fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because in me, outside of Christ, I can do nothing. I have nothing to offer but my faith. And who gave me that in the first place? For we are God's fellow workers, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. We are God's building. This is the, I believe it's New American. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation, Paul says, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on that foundation. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident. Your works will become evident. For the day of God's judgment will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, that you draw us out of this dark world, God, and you translate us into the kingdom of your dear Son, Christ Jesus. God, we rest on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. God, not on our works, not on our skill set and ability or lack of. God, we come to you by faith and faith alone, knowing, God, that the gift of God is not of works, but it is of grace through faith that we receive it. Thank you, God, for your mercy. And Lord, I just put every foul spirit that's not of God on notice right now. In the name of Jesus, we take dominion and authority over every foul spirit. I command you to leave this place in the name of Jesus. And for those that God has not ordained to come forth at this time, be on notice. Your day is coming. In the name of Jesus, we invoke the blessing of Jesus and the blood of Jesus over this place. And Lord Jesus, you have dominion. For you are Lord and Lord and King of kings. And you reign here in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can see that God asks of us to heavily consider what we begin so that we can be sure that we can finish well. How many want to finish well? I want to finish well. Tonight I'm asking the Holy Spirit to confront us. We need to be confronted. I have 4 kids. They need to be confronted. I have a wife. I need to be confronted. Hope you guys understand that. You're young. Confront us, Holy Spirit, with the reality of this truth. Expose our faulty work and help us get back to the quality living and building. Building that will pass the test of God's judgment. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, find out what pleases the Lord. Any relationship you get in, you want to find out what the person likes. If I become friends with Reed and he doesn't like coffee, I'm not going to invite him to Starbucks every day. I want to find out what pleases him. I don't want to put my needs before his and be like, hey, I know you don't like coffee, but let's go to Starbucks. Because I'm thinking about myself. And I got to have a Starbucks. Right? Or Kalati. Or whatever. I'm pro Kalati. Hallelujah. I just spent 4 years in Phoenix where there was no Kalati, so Starbucks was all we had. Right? So I do a triple, what is my deal? Triple tall, two shot, non-fat, no foam, no whipped mocha. That's my deal. All right. So, find out what pleases the Lord. If you get a boyfriend and a girlfriend, which none of you should have right now, I'm serious. You build for a purpose. You don't build to goof off. You build purposefully. You get in a relationship, it better be purposeful. And if you're not walking with God together, forget it. You are, and I'm not joking, you are an idiot. I'm serious. I'm serious. You think I'm trying to be cute? I'm not joking. It is dangerous to get hooked up with something that you don't know what you're hooking up with. You need to know that person. You need to look at their character. You need to understand where they're headed. This is not something you just tap on into. You understand what I'm saying? It's a big deal. For those of you that aren't really watching your life, and this is a rabbit trail, but this is God, you begin to hook up with people in the world's view of hooking up, you will get what they got spiritually. Say, I don't have demons. You go get with people and become one with someone that has them, you became one with them, you got them. Then you got a soul tie. Then you got a break. I can't get over that guy for some reason. You should have never got into the thing in the first place. Listen to God. My sheep hear my voice. Another's they will not follow. My sheep hear my voice. Quit saying, I don't hear from God. If you're God's sheep, you hear from God. And you need to hear from God on everything you do. Where you work. Who you hang out with. I'll lay off. Find out what pleases the Lord. If you're going to live with your parents, you got to figure it out, right? Let's look at an example of a very religious people in Scripture to see how they were building and if they were building things that please the Lord. Now, we're talking about religious, good people, right? Biblical people. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. If you're not there, I'll read it. But I do, hopefully, that you guys read it because I want you to know where these things are in Scripture. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you." Now, did you hear Jesus? He said, hey, what they're telling you, you should do it. But Lord, what you're about to do would make me think you don't want me to listen to them. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. Ears light up. Your ears should be lighting up right now. Whoa, Jesus is about to tell me something. Don't do what they do. What do they do? Because I'm going to find out what God dislikes. Before I find out what pleases Him, it'd be good for me to know what He don't like. Right? Here we go. You guys ready? They don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Hey, neighbor, you need to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday night and our prayer meeting on Thursday night. Well, Mike, I'm sorry, but I broke my leg and I'm working on something in the backyard and I got to go groceries and my car's broken. I can't do nothing. Well, I can take you to church. Did you hear what she said? That woman needs help. Forget your meeting and live the Word of God. Help the woman. Paint her house. Take her to get groceries. If you feel like you got to call the pastor and say, I ain't coming to a meeting, then do that. If he's a godly man or woman, they'll be like, that's an opportunity for ministry. That's what we're supposed to do in the first place. So you do it, and I'm going to bless you, and you do that. And then on Wednesday, if somebody says, where's Sister such and such? Oh, she's living the Word of God. She's doing it. Well, she's missing the Word. No, she's living the Word. She's living the Word. All right. Everything they do, here we go. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. It's almost like if somebody says, oh, I got a watch. But if you really want people to see a watch, you wear one of those big Flavor Flav watches on your wrist, you know. Yo, homie, I got a watch. Doing it for show. Now, he's an entertainer. He should be. But if you're a Christian, are you putting on a show? If you're putting on a show, God, expose it in the name of Jesus. Expose it, Lord, right now. Help us. We all, at times, do this. Let's get real. We have sinful things that we are struggling with, all right? Only arms that wear the big boxes, and they wear robes with extra long tassels, and they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplace, to be called rabbi. Oh, Prophet Mike! Pastor Mike! That's why I said earlier, titles, if you're functioning in it, you don't need to be called something. You're moving in it. It's not you anyhow. It's the gift of God in you, and that's functioning, and you're yielding to it, and hallelujah anyhow. And when you get to heaven, are you going to do? If you get a crown for functioning in that gift, you're going to throw it on the ground because He did it in the first place. It's His work. So get off your high horse, if you own one, and realize you're just a vessel made of earth and clay. Remember, He took that dirt, blew in it, and here we are, okay? Now, Matthew 6, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. My ears are popping up. Practicing righteousness before men. This is something that I'm not supposed to be doing. But wait a minute. The Bible says live a righteous life. Absolutely. But where do we get our righteousness from in the first place? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? He pours His righteousness. It's an alien righteousness. It's not mine. It comes from Him. And He imparts it or imputates it onto me. I'm reflecting His righteousness because He's in me reflecting it. Make sense? Don't do it before men to be noticed, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. No reward? What did He not like that's going to take away my reward? Showing your righteousness so everybody can see it. Give me an example, Lord. Well, I'm going to give you some examples in just a second. Let's just read this real quick. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Where are you going? Sister Betty's house. What are you going to Sister Betty's house for? I got to give her a check. Oh, she got a check? No, I'm just going to give it to her. I thought the Lord told me to give it to her. And don't forget to tell your friends what I'm doing. In the temple, they had these big horns, these big-looking horn things in the temple where people would come up and put their tithes and their alms. And they had small little horns and big horns. And the Pharisees would always go up to the big horns. But the little lady that had the two minas, she walked up to the little horn and dropped it in there. And while the Pharisees were judging her, Jesus said what? She's given more than all of you. Appearance. Big horns, little horns. Okay? Tooting a horn. All right. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Secret? Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So does that mean if I go up to a brother or a sister or somebody that I see that God, because He speaks to us, gives me a little nudge to give, I just walk up to them and I give it to them and I move on. I don't got to make a big deal out of it. They don't even know who it came from. When you give, if you want to come down and give it to the bucket, great. If you want to stick it on the wall, whatever. Don't make a big deal of it, right? Jesus is saying, don't go down there and make a big deal. Just don't make a big deal of it. Jesus sees it, right? All right. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, because they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So why do we pray? That's another story. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees? What sorrow awaits you, teachers and religious law? Why do you think there's a sorrow that's coming? Because the house that they're building is going to fall like a deck of cards. Because they're trusting in their righteousness, right? For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. Now, I'm not picking on ladies because I think certain makeup looks good, just not too much, my opinion. But we care so much about how we look on the outside, and we don't really think about what's going on the inside. When we treat our siblings wrong, or we talk about our neighbor or one another, that's ugliness. That's what God's looking at. What are you working on, Mike, in the secret place? God, only you know. That's right, son, I see it. He sees it. He knows what you're dealing with in your mental state every day. Because He's living in and through us. What comes to us passes through Him. Now, I'll go on here. It says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers? Again, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones. So let's review. Do not be like this list. Here's the list. Give in secret versus give so everyone can see. What pleases God? Give in secret. What is the motive in giving so that everyone can see? Praise from men, pride, arrogance. Pray in secret versus praying out loud on the street corners. Pray in secret. That doesn't mean you can't pray. We prayed down here tonight. Gabriel and I prayed out here. I'm not saying you can't pray. If you're at Gwinnie's and you're eating breakfast, if you believe that you should pray before you eat a meal, pray. He's not saying don't pray. He's saying don't make a big deal of it, right? Okay? So you can show other people that you're so spiritual, right? Fast in secret versus wanting people to know you're spiritual. Mike, you just don't look good today. I'm fasting. I'm on my fourth day. If you've been in the body of Christ long enough, you have done those things. You have done those things. When I say you, I'm talking me. We've done it. Stick around, kid. There's the warfare that we fight. What pond are we sucking out of? What well are we drawing from? When you become a Christian and you start getting in certain circles, things begin to twist. And you start wanting to get to know, well, man, my skill set and ability is this, and you want people to know it. We're going to get to that in just a second. Now, judge not versus judging as a way of life, using your righteousness as a standard. The Bible says judge not. Man, I saw Jesus at the well talking to a woman. Boy, they were judging Him big time. They were judging Jesus. They were judging The judge. He was about his father's business. If you see your brother and sister talking to somebody that you kind of might know that they kind of are living a little bit of a bad life, before you judge them, say, "Hey, I saw you talking to such and such. What's going on?" Don't just assume they're up to bad news, right? You just don't do it. These are simple principles. This is the Word of God, right? Jesus sat with sinners while the Pharisees judged him. They were not interested in helping anybody but themselves. "Hey, man, your cow fell in the ditch on the Sabbath. Sorry." You know? "Hey, Jesus is here to heal. It's on the Sabbath." Not on the Sabbath. They cared more about the law than they did the law giver, the one that cut the law. Jesus said, "Oh, just so you know that I can forgive sins, your sins are forgiven. And it is the Sabbath. And just so you'll know that I do have the power to forgive sins, stretch out your withered hand there." Blew them all up. They couldn't believe it. Jesus broke every law that he established to prove to the Pharisees that he was the law. He fulfilled the law. And it wasn't exactly what they thought, because they were trying to find life in the Scriptures. And he says, "No, life is in a relationship with me." Because when you're in a relationship with me, you're going to begin to fulfill the law. Because guess who's living the life in you? Hallelujah. Jesus didn't seek fame, but they did. Jesus told people over and over and over, "Hey, don't tell anybody I did this." And let's be real. If I pray for somebody and they get raised from the dead, I'll be so excited, I'll want to tell everybody. He's not saying you can't be excited and you can't be glad when things happen. He's saying, what's your motive? What is your motive for what you do? If you're going to be a leader in GM, is it because you love and feel a desire and a calling to do it? Or is it because you just want to be known as a GM leader? 4-12, 3-10, I don't know the terms. And I'm not knocking the terms. Praise God. I'm saying it's not going to do Gabriel and Ashley and Reed and Mariah and all the leaders any good if your motives are not Christ-like. Now they got a liability on their hands. And they don't know it unless they get a word of knowledge. Because we can't be judging. That's why you can rely on the gifts of the Spirit, and you need to be have discernment, so that instead of you judging, God reveals it. Because we see in part and know in part. I don't care how spiritual you are. All right. Jesus was led by compassion. The Pharisees were led by an evil desire to be known and a desire to be revered by men. All right. In a nutshell, the Pharisees are a great example of how unexamined religious people's hearts can be twisted into evil living and actually think that what they are doing is pleasing God, but all the while God is revolted by their service or lack of to him and the people. As time goes by, we begin to involve ourselves in a myriad of activities within the church. Once we get saved, we're encouraged by others. "Susie, you have a beautiful voice. And you pray so beautifully on the piano. Chris, you're handsome. And your voice, unbelievable," right? Okay? And I'm not saying that when people say those things are made up or fake. But you begin to see the facts of what people have. If somebody's 6'4", you go, "You're tall." Right? If you see a person that has a spiritual gift in their life and you begin to see it functioning, it'll do you well to encourage them in it. Encouraging each other daily as we see the day approaching. We encourage one another, right? But we're excited. We look for open doors to develop those gifts and talents, which we should do. Look for doors, look for ways. Within most of the time, though, this is where it gets kind of yucky, because the old wineskin that I told you that God had pulled me out of, and that mindset, the areas that you minister in are typically meetings. So when you come to a meeting, you begin to want to look for an open door at the meeting. And then pretty soon you think, I can't be in the ministry unless I'm involved in this meeting or this group of people, right? It's not about the meeting, folks. It's about a daily walk. Great to be a part of the meeting. If I was your age, I'd want to be a GM 412, 310 person. It's awesome. You're being discipled. You're learning. Nothing wrong with the meeting. I'm not poo-pooing the meeting. Hear me out. I'm saying motives. When I go to Starbucks or Kalades or Costco or Walmart or U-Haul, I'm listening for the voice of God as if I were in a meeting to prophesy to a young person. It's the same thing. When God showed me that, my whole life changed. I began to quit pursuing a meeting and meetings and meetings and groups. I began to pursue the Lord. And I'm like, oh my goodness, God, I'm going to Talkeetna. The meeting's back in Anchorage. I got something for you to do, son. I'm going to Talkeetna. You do what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be a lone ranger. Stay connected. Come to the meeting when you can. But hear and obey. That's all it is. Okay? Here we go. We get those ugly thoughts like I was telling you about. She can't sing like I can sing. She's not anointed. Well, if I'd ever get a chance to preach, God would show up and blow the doors off the place. Come on now, those of you that are called to preach, don't tell me you haven't thought like that. I sat in Abbott Loop for many, many years going, if I could just get a chance to preach. And thank God I didn't. And I say that because I would have made a fool of myself. Because what were my motives? It gets back to motives. I was a Pharisee just like the Pharisees. Because I was operating in a wrong mindset. And then when I broke out of that, I began to see, I don't need to go preach at Abbott Loop. I need to love my neighbor. I need to love my coworkers. And then I had opportunities to speak and preach and teach all the time. At lunch, while we're packing pipes into boxes. While I'm driving my worker to the emergency room. While I'm painting sister such and such's house on a Saturday when I really don't have time to do it anyhow. But I'm serving out of love. You see that bubble? Yeah. And I caught it. All right. See, what happens is a lot of times we start thinking more of ourselves than of others. The gift of God that you have in your life is for the people. It's not for you to gain fame and to gain recognition. Because you know what? You don't get your identity, or you shouldn't, from your giftings. You get your identity through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The gifts are just a perk. And the gifts will test you every time. The gifts are a double-edged sword. You'll be used by God to prophesy to somebody or sing a special or whatever gift you have to do a thing. And then your heart will start wanting praise from people. Tell me how good I was. Tell me how accurate that word was. And there's nothing wrong to test prophecy and to see if you're in tune or not. It's motives. Why am I wanting people to tell me how good I prophesied or how good I sang? Motives. If we would simply stop and ask ourselves the question, why am I asking this question? Why should we be carefully to consider what we're doing? Because we're going to be tested at the judgment. Right? All right. What time do I got? Okay, here we go. We have all had thoughts and attitudes like this. We just discussed, and in all honesty, we tend to be more like the Pharisee than like Christ. If you want to give an honest examination of yourself from time to time, we are more like the Pharisee than we are like Christ. I will speak for myself. I don't like it. God don't like it. That's why I come before Him and say, Lord, I surrender everything. Daily, God, help me. That's why when I'm used to prophesy sometimes, your counsel. your words, not mine. My word, I'm going to be judged for it. If you're teaching, you're going to be judged more harshly, it says. So if you're eager to teach, you better make sure you know and understand what you're teaching and how it's affecting and what the motive is. Because if you're operating out of a toxic well, like we were talking about earlier, and you think, well, I should get some rewards. I teach at GM for 15 years. What if you got before God and it burned up like hay? Because your motives were jacked up. They're just jacked up. God help us all. God help us all in everything that we do, right? Now, so we found out what God dislikes, and there's a whole bunch more if you do your own study. There's a ton of things God doesn't like. But it's good that he had the Pharisees in there, because that's how religious people act. It's the spirit of religion. We fall in love with ourselves, right? And what we're so good at. So, Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. That's a good foundation. That's a good place to function out of. Love. Love. Do you have the love of Christ? Probably not. Do I have the love of Christ? Probably not. But when I say, Lord, I need your love, I need you to fill me, the Spirit of God brings fruit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit of God is love. If you're loving people that are unlovely, it's typically because Christ's love is flowing in you. I can't love people that I don't like. I'm a sales guy. I meet like 10 people a day, every day, 365 days a year. And there's some people I just, man, I hope I never have to deal with them again. Doesn't mean you hate them. It just means I just don't have the love of God for that person. Right? And that's okay. It says sow peace. Doesn't mean you got to love every single person and get along with them. Just sow peace. But if you start praying for that person with the heart of Christ, say, God, give me love for this person that for some reason I don't like, I guarantee you God will start changing you. And you'll start feeling love for that person. It's amazing how that works. All right. Get married. You love them. They love you. You start to see everything about them. And then that passion, all that love starts turning into irritation. And you start going, I can't stand when they do that way. You guys aren't old enough to be married. But it's called commitment. All right? Now, be an imitator of God. Well, what's that mean? What is God like? He showed us. Don't turn for the sake of time. God reveals himself to Moses. Remember? On the mountain? God showed him his communicable attributes. Not his power gifts. Oh, when I stretch out my hand, they're going to blow up. Hallelujah, come down front. Hallelujah. Boom, boom, boom. The whole thing falls out, you know. I mean, hey, if God were to use me that way, I would love it. And that's the problem. God knows what he can give us. God knows what he can give us. You don't got a lot of money, but you're a good saver and a good money manager, start thinking about it. Okay? Now, therefore, Moses said, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, man, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight and please you. So for the sake of time, God says, all right, I'm going to show you me. But I'm going to put you up behind the cleft of the rock, because if you see me face to face, you'll die. So I'm going to show you my backside, okay? So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing which you have spoken and asked, and you have found favor in my sight. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. So the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and when it come about my glory is passing by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand till I have passed by. So the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with his hymn, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now get this, God is revealing who he is to Moses. The Lord God, this is God speaking, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. That's who I am. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands. Who forgives iniquity, praise God, transgression and sin. Yet, this is the justice. He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God is gracious and He will love you, but if you get on His bad side, things don't change in 2 days. It might be to the third and fourth generation till it breaks out of that thing. And that's just God. God does what He wants. He's sovereign. Like He told Moses, or Pharaoh, back in Romans 9, which goes back into the Exodus in the Old Testament. Hey, I have compassion on whom I have compassion. I harden whom I harden. Is that unrighteousness with God? Paul says, by no means. How can the clay say to the potter, hey, don't make me this way? God does what He wants. He just does what He wants. Remember David? He had blew it, messed up, and God said, hey, I'm going to give you a choice here, boss. I'll let you get taken by these kings, and they'll do whatever they will with you, or you can be put in my hand. David says, well, I know that there is a loving side to you, so I'd rather be in your hand because I know you love me. Because God's not evil. Men are evil. God is not evil. He's not the creator of it, but He didn't author it, but He allowed it. I want you to hear that. So, what's this got to do, Mike, with building? It's got a lot to do with it. Because now God just said, this is who I am. So, in 1 Timothy it says, 1 verse 5, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart and a clear conscience and a genuine faith. Not a fake faith, not a showy faith, not a Sunday faith. A genuine faith. Examining yourself. Saying, God, help me. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Most of the time when I quote that verse, I'm heavy on the power, love, Salma. It should be power, love, and self-discipline. Comes with age, I guess. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Philippians 1, verse 9, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, more and more love. That you may approve the things that are excellent, which is love. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from love. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition with not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love. Philippians 2, those of you that read the Bible at least once in your life have probably skipped through Philippians. Having the attitude of Christ. Here we go. Now, being an imitator of God, who was Christ? He was God the Father, right? Manifest in the flesh, right? He was showing forth the Father. I think it was Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said, I've been with you all this time. What do you mean, show us the Father? Well, I mean... And they were all of a sudden had a problem. Well, how can you be the Father when you're the Son? If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. He was the expressed image of His glory, His attributes. He wasn't just love, like the book The Shack. Great book. One aspect of God's character. And He wasn't just the God of the Old Testament that said, wipe them out! Kids too. Animals too. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, dwelt bodily with Him. He expressed the Father in a way that pleased the Lord. If you saw Christ, you saw the Father, who led us to Christ, by the way. John 6, verse 43. So, thanks to the Father. Have the attitude of Christ. If there's any encouragement for belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship with the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Have the same attitude of Christ. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't walk around going, God's my Father. Hey, God's my Father, I came from heaven. I just got here a couple weeks ago. He wasn't into that. We do it. I'm guilty of it. I bumped into a nationally named guy, and he called me out and wanted to have a relationship with me on the side through my gift of prophecy. He wanted to help me kind of mentoring in it. And I have to confess, there's times when I'll walk up to a group that doesn't know me and God's moving on my heart to prophesy, and I'll be so quick to drop that guy's name. Oh, well, I was mentored by such and such. And the Lord will say, why are you telling that? And I'll be like, phew. I'm just trying to build credibility, and the Lord's saying, am I not credible? I'm like, yes, you are. Then why are you dropping names? What do you do? What do you do when you're confronted with your sin? You drop down on your knees and you say, God, forgive me. You're right. I'm drawn from a different well. Names. Big Ikes. Right? So, Jesus humbled Himself, made no reputation of Himself, but the Father exalted Him. And you guys know the rest of what happened to Jesus. Now He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and He rules supreme because He was the servant of all. He humbled Himself. I'm almost done. 2 John 1, verse 5, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of you, your children, walking in truth. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. 1 John 3, verse 10 through 18, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Is that your foundation? Is that your foundation? Love. Are you jumping into ministry? Are you jumping into serving people because you want to be known? You want your gifts to start being recognized? Or just because you want to obey the Lord in love? Let love be our motivator and let us build with love. Here's the scripture that is so important, and it was the title of the message. Not that I'm into titles, like I said. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't matter what you do in the flesh. But faith in God expressing itself through love. If I'm expressing my faith in Christ to others with love, then I'm building on a solid foundation. There is a scripture, I can't quote it, but I'll give the McSwain paraphrase. Hey, if you're living like this in love and in meekness and kindness, there's no law against you. You're above the law. Because the greater law is love. It's like the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Key word, beginning. The greatest wisdom is love. Love is the greatest, 1 Corinthians 13. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth, of angels, prophesy, heal the sick, cast out devils, but have not love, I am a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. So here we go. I'll read this. You know about the foundations. If you build on gold and pure stones, costly stones, your foundation will last. And those costly stones are found in Christ. He says He's the treasure. All treasures are laid up in Christ. You function in Christ. You connect with Christ. Your foundation will be solid. If you build outside of Christ on your own motives, which we should examine constantly through reading the Word and through the Spirit of God revealing it to us, it'll be burned up with hay if you don't listen to the Lord. Apart from Him, we can do what? Nothing. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. So Micah 6. He has told you, O man, what is good and pleasing. Here we go. What does the Lord require of you? Remember that was the first question I asked. What does the Lord require of you when you first get saved? To do justice. To do what is right. To love kindness. Charity. Loving people. Be kind. And to walk humbly before God. Stay connected to the vine and you'll produce fruit. And not your own fruit. It'll be the fruit of the Spirit of God. So I want to end up by doing this. A lot of people get tripped up on ministry. Ministry's good. God's called us to it. We're all ministers of reconciliation. Do you hear me? We're all ministers of reconciliation. That's what the Bible says. You become a Christian, God has works that He's prepared in advance for you to walk in. You don't work them out. You walk in Him, and He's got them set up for you. He's just waiting on that day. You're just walking with the Lord. He's got them all figured out. But there comes things in our lives that we wrestle with. And that's that blockage. That's that breakthrough we were talking about earlier. We need to break through in our lives things that entangle us and these little things that we get caught up in that the Pharisees got caught up in. So if you need prayer tonight for those things, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Not that I'm so great, but I just have faith. I want to pray for you. And I believe that I'm a child of God. And I believe that I hear from God. And I believe that God wants me to pray for people. I believe. Hopefully that's what you believe. I want you guys to close your eyes. Only because I want you to concentrate for a second. This isn't a New Age mind trip. I just want you to simply ask a question. Lord, what am I building on? What am I building on? If there has been anything tonight that I have said through reading of the Scripture and my little rabbit trails that I got on, that you were like, ooh, done that. Ooh, I'm operating out of that. First of all, I want you to know, so have I. And probably so has your neighbor. And most likely, so has your pastor. The only person that has never walked and built incorrectly is Christ Jesus. So don't feel ashamed of it. Don't get under the guilt of it. Simply ask God to forgive you, to push that away, and bring you back to building through the Spirit on the foundation of love. Do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for every single person in this room. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now, God, that You'd bring to their mind that little picture screen of their mind where they get faith pictures and You're showing them right now, this is what You're building on. You need to work on this. This is what's in the way of me giving you more love and expanding your spirit. I want to fill you, says the Lord. But these are the things that I am showing you now. That if you deal with these things, I will fill you and expand the love that I want to give to you right now. If somebody wants to come up for prayer, I want you to come up now. And you guys, if you guys would sing that righteousness song we were singing earlier, we're just going to pray. Anybody want to come up? If there's a young lady that wants prayer, I'm not going to pray for you. I will with somebody else. But feel free if that's an area there that you're like, I don't want to go have a guy pray for me. That's fine. There's lady leaders here. Come on up. Anybody that needs prayer.